So this afternoon, brethren and sisters, we are going to consider the subject of the promises made unto the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we'll start by just quoting from the Declaration of the Truth revealed in the Bible in regards to our subject, which says, the purpose and promises of God. And number 21 says, God has unfolded his purpose in the past by promises made at certain stages in human history. Peter calls them exceeding great and precious promises, by which we might become partakers of the divine nature. Firstly, the first promise was made when Adam had transgressed God's law in Eden and revealed that one would be born in whom sin would be overcome and through whom all the evil that resulted from sin would be abolished. Secondly, an important unfolding of God's purpose arose when he called Abram to leave Ur of the Chaldees and to go to Palestine. It was revealed to Abram that his descendants should be God's people, that Abram and his seed should have the land for an eternal inheritance, and that all nations should be blessed in him. This great promise is called the gospel in the New Testament, for it involves Abraham's greatest seed, Jesus Christ, the resurrection from the dead of Abraham, and all in his faithful line, and the eternal blessing of the world when Jesus establishes the kingdom of heaven upon earth. Thirdly, the promises were renewed to Isaac and Jacob, who are henceforth associated with Abraham in scriptures of promise. Fourthly, the promises received a partial fulfillment in Israel's occupation of Palestine, but their ultimate, perfect, and lasting fulfillment, especially in their personal application to Abraham and all his faithful line, is future. It's associated with Christ in his kingdom. Fifthly, when Abraham's descendants had become fully established as God's kingdom in the land of Palestine and David ruled over them, God revealed his purpose concerning the future of mankind. A descendant of David who would also be the Son of God should reign on David's restored and glorified throne forever. And we'll come on to the promises which God made to David on a separate occasion. Our considerations this afternoon are going to be tied up solely with the promise or the promises made to Abraham. And in the first place, young people, you may wonder why we have invited you this afternoon to this lecture and take almost an hour of our time or your time to speak on a subject which perhaps on the surface appears somewhat vague and uninteresting. And to that point, I remember a colleague of mine many, many years ago driving past the Christadelphian Hall and seeing this very title published on the side of the building, the promises made to Abraham. And her question was, who on earth is Abraham? Who on earth is Abraham? Well, simply though, in answer to our question as to why we're taking the time here this afternoon, simply put, we are prepared to spend the time because it is a subject which is at the very heart of Bible teaching. The Bible is our only source of information on the subject, for all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And we find those words in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And also in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21, we read that we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake, as they were moved or borne along by the Holy Spirit. So you can be certain that everything that we assert this afternoon will be backed up with scriptural proof. Now the Apostle Paul, in his epistle to the Romans chapter 15 verse 8, shows us how important this subject is, the promises to the fathers yet to be fulfilled in the setting up of the kingdom of God upon earth. Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And so here we have a connection between the mission of the Son of God and this foundation of the promises made unto the fathers. And we'll consider our subject this afternoon in three separate parts. Who are the fathers, number one? Two, what did God promise them? So what did the promises consist of? And lastly and thirdly, have these promises been fulfilled, or will they be fulfilled in the future? So, who are the fathers? Well, it's a scriptural term. Let's go to Genesis 48, verses 15 and 16, first off. Genesis 48, verse 15, and he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, did walk, the God which fed me all my life along unto this day, and the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. My fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Also, let us go to Exodus 3. So Abraham and Isaac is specifically mentioned there. So Abraham and his son. Exodus 3 and verse 15. And God said, moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. So here, we not only have Abraham and Isaac, but also Isaac and Jacob, and they are referred to as the fathers. To prove that this isn't just an isolated Old Testament term, let's also go to Acts chapter 7. Verses 1 to 3. Then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Verse 32, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So it's pretty clear, is it not? It's pretty clear, is it not, that this term, the fathers, relates to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, before we move on to consider the promises God made to them, let us firstly look at who they are in more detail. Let's go to Genesis 11. That's Genesis 11 and verse 26. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren, she had no child, and Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So, young people, Abraham was a man born in a country called Ur of the Chaldees, and Ur was a city of no mean importance. It was the headquarters of the worship of the moon god, and the name of the moon god was Nana, N-A-N-A-H. With its principal building was a massive ziggurat temple dedicated to pagan worship, the impressive ruins of which are still in evidence today. Ur was a royal city which one time governed the Sumerian provinces, and archaeological discoveries have established that the civilization was of an extremely high order, with an advanced culture and an advanced education system. Clay tablets have been found recording business transactions, like some kind of banking system, and those same type of clay tablets have also been found recording things like school lessons, hymns, treaties in history and mathematics. In the days of Abraham, Ur was one of the most significant cities in the world, a centre of manufacture, a centre of farming and shipping and trade, situated in an area of fabulous fertility and wealth. From this centre, caravans left in all directions for distant lands and markets, and ships tied up at its docks were found importing and exporting merchandise. The city covered an area of about 2 miles, northwest and southeast, and half a mile wide. It was surrounded by an inner wall of 400 yards long by 200 yards wide. And the royal tombs of Ur testify to the high degree of material skill and wealth developed by the civilization. Articles of highest value in precious metal and of the most exquisite workmanship have been discovered there through archaeological digs. Now, following on then from this introduction in chapter 11, chapter 12 begins with God's instruction to Abraham. Verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." So from Ur, one of the most wealthy cities in the world at that time, Abraham was instructed by God to depart and move to a land that God, at that point, was not to reveal to him, but later would show him. We know that he didn't know where he was going, because the book of Hebrews tells us that by faith, Abraham went out, not knowing whither he went. Now, this 12th chapter of Genesis, verses 4 and 5, tells us that he left his father's house with Lot, his nephew, and Sarai, his wife. Now, when God asked him, young people, to leave his country, when God asked him to leave his kindred and his father's house, he told Abraham that he would make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. He was told, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. So bless them that bless thee, curse him, singular, that curseth thee. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And when Abraham arrived at the land which God showed him, a further promise was made, because he was told, unto thy seed will I give this land. Thy seed also shall possess the gate of his enemies. And the final promise that was given unto him in the form of the following words was that he should indeed possess the world. Abraham should be the heir of the world. Now we notice that the first four statements in the promise directly refer to Abraham, whilst promises listed E and F refer, or 5 and 6 rather, refer to Abraham's seed. So let us look at the promises individually and in some more detail. Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3. I will make of thee a great nation. This was a national promise. It was a national promise. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And so Abraham here was being told that the promises were not constrained only to the land of Israel, the land which he went to, but also that all families would be blessed in him and in his seed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, we read. Now the great and mighty nation that was promised to Abraham are not the natural Jews, of course, his descendants after the flesh, the nation of natural Israel, which to this day have been a nation of flesh-born rebels. From the time of Abraham, through the time of Moses, through to the time of Christ, where they put him to death. Through, indeed, brethren and sisters and young people, to the present time, they have been a stiff-necked group of disobedient and unthankful people. They have continuously apostatized God's truth. And to surround a man of the faith of Abraham with such a group of people would certainly not be a blessing. That's the word. They are the words of Brother Roberts, in fact, in Christendom.